It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And our climate has been adjusting very nicely. And I want to start off by talking a little bit about snow and snow cover, because I've been watching it very carefully. And in fact, last Friday, I saw the first patches of grass starting to show through on the fields. And as Augie noted in his report from Shevlin, first patches of grass, and that was on Friday. And yesterday I was out on the fields riding my bicycle in the grass. It was down to about, I would say, 25% snow cover. In 4 days, it went from almost 100% to about a quarter of the fields covered in snow, and the snow is all laid up on the edges where the trees are shadowing the fields. Otherwise, bare ground. I rode around on the field yesterday for about an hour with my dog, and we were just checking things out and having a good time. Meanwhile, back at home in the woods, I have various places where I check my snow depths, and in the last 4 or 5 days, I checked last Tuesday, and I had 18 inches of snow at the swamp crossing, where only thing to interrupt snowfall there is the tag alders, the speckled alders, and they really don't stop a lot of snow from reaching the ground. It's not like being under a stand of pine, but there was 18 inches of snow there just in open, what I would call mesic forest. So maple, birch, aspen forest, 14 inches. Taking an average throughout the woods where I was walking, I had 12 inches in open areas where there was an opportunity for sun to get down on the ground. There was about 6 inches of snow. And back in the woods where my trailing arbutus grows, there was about 15 inches of snow back there. And that's another one of those areas where there's lots of deciduous trees, but not a lot of pine trees. So the upshot is, and I went out yesterday and checked again, and there is still about that much snow in the woods. It's not melting very fast in the woods. It's going down a little bit, maybe an inch or two, but nothing dramatic yet, although in one spot I did notice that the melting around the base of the trees is starting to spread out, and I suppose the snow cover in the mesic forest where I've been taking my readings is, although it's still 12 inches deep where it is snowy, there's about 80% of the ground that is covered with snow and about 20% that's bare. And those bare spots are worth checking out. So don't shy away from the bare spots. Get in there and look for what's green. There's lots of green things out there. There's ferns, sedges, some grasses, gold thread, hepatica, wintergreen. There are just a lot of little evergreen plants out there. Strawberries, all of those have green leaves and can be found in some of those bare spots. So snow's going, but it's taking its time about it. And really, the interesting thing about that is that my driveway is still pretty hard, pretty dry, actually. The snow is melting. The water doesn't seem to be running off. It just seems to be soaking into the ground. And I think part of the reason for that, and I've talked to a number of people about this, last fall we got a lot of snow before we had cold weather, and that snow kind of insulated the ground. And I don't think there's a lot of frost out in the forest. And I think that as that water melts, it's just seeping into the ground, which is probably the best thing that we could hope for, because the river here is high, but certainly not dangerously high, not flood stage by any means, which is the one thing we want to try to avoid. So among the animals and plants that I've been observing, what's going on? Well, I saw some snow buntings. I saw 3 snow buntings last week, and those were probably the last ones I'll see. They were They weren't headed north when I saw them, but chances are that's where they're headed. That's why I saw them. They were coming back up north from down south, and they'll be going on further to the north to spend the winter or the summer up in the tundra, where they will raise their families, and then we'll see them again in the fall. I've been watching the speckled alder over the past couple of over the past few days, and this is the plant with it. It's got like these little pine cones on it. Now, I know they're not pine cones because the speckled alder isn't a pine, but the cone, the flower cone, is going to look like a little pine cone, and that'll get you to the plant. And when you get to the plant, look at the male flowers, which are these long catkins, and they start off about an inch long, and I've got some that are close to 2 inches long now that are beginning to expand, softening up to the touch. Still no pollen, but by the first, well, tomorrow's the first, so I would expect any time now, today, tomorrow, the next day, should be pollen coming off of those speckled alder flowers. If you're looking at the male flowers, if you're seeing those catkins that I'm talking about, check just above them, and you'll see these little tiny red flowers that are the female flowers. And they stagger their ripeness so that when the male flower is giving off pollen, the female flower is not going to be receptive. Otherwise, she'd pollinate herself, and they don't want to do that. They want to mix the genetics up with other groups. So speckled alder, getting close. I'm looking at red elderberry. You may recall the kids down in Northfield said the red elderberry buds were popping open. Harvey Jader mentioned that his red elderberry had cracks in the buds. I checked mine carefully yesterday, and I saw nothing other than big swollen buds on the red elderberry. So if you've got a plant in your yard with big fat buds on it, the buds are going to be, oh gosh, almost the size of the end of your little finger, and kind of purplish. Those are probably red elderberry. If you want to be certain, take a branch near the end and break it off and look at the pith. And if the pith is brown or reddish brown, you're definitely looking at red elderberry. And they're going to be breaking bud here pretty quick. Also, the fly honeysuckle is, the buds on that are cracking and getting ready to open. These are the first, the alder, the honeysuckle, and the elderberry are the first ones to get going in the spring in terms of flowering, followed closely by hazel. And I looked at hazel yesterday, and some of the male catkins on the hazels are starting to stretch out. Most of the winter, they've been like these half-inch long little khaki-colored catkins that are hanging from the branches, and now some of them are up over an inch long. But I couldn't make any pollen fly out of those yesterday, so they're not quite there. And I looked very carefully on several bushes and found no female flowers yet. Now, those typically, that will be the very first part of April, like the 2nd or 3rd of April is when they usually break flower. So I would expect this next week, I would look at red elderberry to break bud. I would look at the speckled alder to yield pollen. And I would think that the hazel brush will probably have its first flowers this next week. So keep an eye on those. I hadn't heard or seen migrating Canada geese until last Thursday. And I was out Thursday night about 10:30, and I could hear geese barking, and it was a clear night, stars everywhere, moon had already set, and I could hear them, and I could locate them by sound, and by looking very carefully, I could see every once in a while a star would wink out and then come back and then wink out and come back, and so I could see that I knew where they were. I couldn't actually see them, but their song was so clear and beautiful, and it was such a lovely night. I just really had a nice time kind of enjoying the return of the Canada geese. American crows, you may recall, I mentioned they're definitely building nests right now. Rough-legged hawks, the last of them, are starting to leave the area. I found Purple finches, robins came back this last week in big numbers. I saw lots of them this last week. The purple finch, who've been around for a week or so, I was actually looking at this aspen, this popple tree in my yard with my binoculars, and I've been watching this tree for 30 years. I know it's a male, and it flowers really early. It's usually late February that the flower comes out on this thing. And I was looking at the flowers, trying to get a kind of an estimate of how many flowers there were on it. Couple of things. One, the tree doesn't seem to put out all its flowers at once. Many of the branches were covered in flowers, but others had no flowers whatsoever. I could see the buds, but no flowers. And I suspect that the tree is just being a little cautious. It's like, I'm not going to put them all out because a frost could come along and kill them. And I want to make sure I've got some held back that I can put out at a more appropriate time if that's the case. Anyway, I was looking at this aspen yesterday, and all of a sudden I noticed that there were some purple finches up there. So I went and got my spotting scope, which is like three times as powerful as my binoculars. And I focused that in on a purple finch sitting up there, and they were tearing apart the flowers. They were pulling the fuzz off of the flower and letting it go, just pulling it off and letting it fly in the wind. And then they were sticking their beaks in and eating what I can only assume was the flower structure itself. And I don't know if there's any sugar in there. I imagine there is. I don't know if it's the, you know, whether it's sweet enough to taste. I don't know why the purple finch would be doing this. I've got thistle seed, I've got millet, and I've got black oil sunflower seeds. So there's plenty of food there. But here these birds are up tearing these flowers apart on the aspen tree and eating the male flowers. And I'd never seen that before. I don't know if that's a, you know, if it's just my purple finches or if they're doing that in your yard as well. So check it out. One of the nice things about this time of year, getting up early in the morning and hearing the robins and the red-winged blackbirds, sandhill cranes, geese, trumpeter swans, it's just a cacophony out there, and it is so delightful. If you're up now and you got a cup of coffee, hey, it's warm out. Take a walk outside and just listen to the birds that are singing in your area after a winter of no birds singing. It's certainly a delight to go out and hear them singing again. So get out and enjoy that. The juncos came back. I started with one back on Saturday, and yesterday I must have had 50. And that's a good thing because I got about 50 pounds of millet seed. I got lots of food. I just need more birds. I've been keeping an eye on the bald eagle. She is definitely sitting on eggs. She has been since way back on the 15th. I would expect, it might even be earlier, so I'd expect in another 2 weeks that we'll have eaglets, or at least an eaglet, I hope. And watching the nest, watching her sit up there, or him, just different things that are going on. Sometimes they're she's just sitting there. The other day I was watching her with my spotting scope, and she tipped her head up and called to the skies and then kind of let that fall on deaf ears. And then the other day I was watching, and he or one of the two eagles flew by heading to the nest with something in its talons, looked like a gray squirrel sized, and it hung down. Usually if they've got a fish, they get it lined up in the direction of their travel, and they hold it kind of 1 foot forward, 1 foot back, and it goes like a log sort of underneath them. This thing was hanging straight down, like if you grabbed a squirrel by the neck and held onto it. Either way, mama was going to eat, and that made me feel good. If you've got a good provider, you can make sure that things are going to go pretty well. I mentioned that I heard my first sandhill cranes. A couple of notes from the internet, from KAXE KBXE Season Watch, that I found really exciting. from down in the Savage area, the first common garter snake out of hibernation. And last night, from the Brainerd area, western chorus frogs singing. So that's really early. Usually it's the middle of April before I start hearing frogs singing. So we'll be keeping track of that. If you have those kinds of things, those kinds of observations in your neighborhood and you want to share them, we'd love to get them. Wilson snipe, that bird that winnows, it does this with its wings and tail feather, and it makes a kind of a, I'll give it a try here, sort of a, not making it, it's kind of a intermittent sort of a stutter. And they do it on a dive, and then they pull out of the dive, and they rise up, and then they go into a dive again, and they do this with their wings, and it's this, poof, 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 poof. I'm not getting it. But anyway, if you hear something a little unusual and you don't see the bird, it's probably the snipe. Great horned owls were calling by my house this morning. Always exciting to hear that. Woodcock are back and calling and should be doing their little sky dances, so that if you get out by a field edge very quietly and watch, you may get a chance to see the woodcock doing their sky dance. American kestrels are back, so lots of birds returning. Killdeer, this is the time of year when you want to be especially sharp. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. As always, if you have comments, questions, or observations you'd like to share, we'd really like to hear from you. Get in touch with us.